the Dalai Lama's monastery and holds a degree of Geshe Lorampa. Rinpoche is recognized by all the world's greatest scholars as one of the greatest living scholars alive who understands Tibetan Buddhism. And we're very fortunate. And something that I'd like everyone else to remember is that Rinpoche was in Lhasa before 1959, studying at Drepung Losa Ling. So he had the opportunity to experience that culture in its rawest form. And if you do the math, there are very few lamas in the United States, I don't know how many, that have experienced that and have gone through that full curriculum in the tradition partially in Tibet. So we're really fortunate to have this rare opportunity again to hear Rinpoche's blessing of the precious garland. So we'll start. I'm going to make prostrations, and then we'll get started with the mandala offering and the refuge prayer. Okay, so now we'll begin with the outer mandala offering and then the prayer of refuge led by Rinpoche.
Yedam Guru Radha Mandala Gamni Radha Yami
Sanjeev.
Yedam Jodhi Yedam La Jaju Badu Dhani Jazu Yindagi Chunye Jipe Sunam Jirala Benji Zanje Jubaju Yedam Jodhi Yedam La Jaju Badu Dhani Jazu Yindagi Chunye Jipe Sunam Jirala Benji Zanje Jubaju Yadan zo ye yo nam la ya ju ba du da ni ya su ji na gi chi ni ji pe su nam ji ru la ben ji zan ye ru ba ju.
Okay, so today we are on stanza 482 in Nagarjuna's precious garland. And let's just give me one moment to get us started here. So in order to achieve a human basis, it is very difficult. And at this moment, we have a human basis. And if dependent upon this human basis, we are able to engage in practices which will allow us to have higher realm rebirths in our future life. We will be able to achieve a human basis and dependence upon engaging in specific practices. So if we go for refuge to the three jewels of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and engage in ethical behavior which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities, and then acknowledge our downfalls, we will be able to create the causes for rebirth in the higher realms and then aspire to the human basis. So when we look at the summary of all Lord Buddha's teachings, if we were to categorize them into the three categories of the Lam Rim, this is the first category, which is called the teachings shared in common with beings of soul capacity. These are teachings which lead beings to the higher realms of cyclic existence. And when we study the Lam Rim, we see that the human basis is the best realm among the higher realms of cyclic existence to practice. Rinpoche has said many times that the bodhisattvas in the pure lands make aspirational prayers to be able to be born into the human realm so that they can hear and see suffering, so they have objects of observation of their compassion. They can pray for all sentient beings because they see sentient beings that are suffering in front of them. Whereas in a pure land, the experience isn't there, so the final stages of their bodhicitta strengthening combined with emptiness really needs those objects. So the bodhisattvas pray so that they can complete their pathways more swiftly in dependence upon sentient beings. So we see how important this human basis is. So if we are able to abandon the 10 non-virtuous activities, and we understand karma and its results, we'll be able to engage in behavior which will allow us to have many rebirths in the higher realms of the gods and the humans. But if one wishes to not only abandon the lower realms of cyclic existence, wishes to achieve a complete liberation from samsara altogether, or from cyclic existence altogether, then he or she needs to practice the 16 attributes of the Four Noble Truths. So when we look at that second category of those teachings which allow one to achieve liberation, we would say that those teachings of the 16 attributes of the Four Noble Truths teach the three highest higher trainings of ethics, concentration, and wisdom. So the Buddha stated in dependence upon those practices, one would achieve liberation, and that would fall into the category of the Lam Rim, the teaching shared in common with beings of medium capacity. Now, if a being isn't satisfied with merely liberation and wants to become a Buddha, the Buddha said that one can do so by practicing all those mentioned things and then combining them with love love through the force of attraction and great compassion, extraordinary attitude that ripes into bodhicitta, that then is combined with the six perfections and allows a bodhisattva at that point, once he or she has generated that bodhicitta, to practice the five Mahayana paths and get rid of the obstructions to omniscience and become a Buddha. So we see the Lam Rim tradition categorizes all of these teachings, summarizes them into these three categories. So we can apply those categories when we look at this precious garland by Nagarjuna, and we can understand where each thing fits into the path and whether it's specific to the Mahayana or if it's something that's in common with the Mahayana that is a common practice. So there are common practices and then there are uncommon practices. So we can understand what those common and uncommon practices are by analyzing the Lam Rim very thoroughly. The Jiten. Jiten Kune Jipo.
Jiten Kune Jogo. Jiten Kune Jogo. Deva Shiva Deshuva. Tada Tanshi Neme Ba. Tato Chichar Dojo Chis. Jiten Kune Jogo. Deva Shiva Deva Yuaris. Deshuva Tada Tanshi Deva Neva Meba. Tato.
So number 482, may I always, without harm, simultaneously stop all beings in all worlds who wish to commit evil deeds. So here is an aspiration that Nagarjuna is making to stop those who wish and want to, who crave committing ill deeds, stop them from doing so, and making an aspiration to be able to simultaneously stop all sentient beings from committing non-virtuous activities, non-ill deeds. So then, may I always be an object of enjoyment for all sentient beings according to their wish and without interference, as are the earth, water, fire, wind, herbs, and wild forests. Then the sentient pechuche. So here, the aspiration is that sentient beings will be able to have no interference and be able to have whatever their wishes related to the earth, water, fire, wind, herbs, and wild forests there are. So whatever their wishes are in relation to those things may I be an object of enjoyment like the fulfillment of those wishes. Okay. Hey, Han. Okay. May I be as dear to sentient beings as their own life, and may they be even more dear to me. May their ill deeds fructify me for me, and all my virtues fructify for them. So we see this in the Guru Puja, very similar sentiment that I'll get the Guru Puja. Hold on one moment. Guru Puja. Thank you. Nāsu kāngā de lāma chūpa yurē, de lāma chūpa jetsun kāpār.
Tāna jizu lāma tūjī māshī tūjī dhīrā, mālu tātā dāla mēba, dāka dhīgī shēn lā tūngā yī, dhūkū tētān dēba shī jī.
De lā rīm?
Tā tūnlēn dhīrī, tūnlēn.
Ātā.
Dhūvā tūpā jēn lā, dhūgēn sēdēn yārī, kūtē.
So we find, I'm going to find the exact quote, but in the Guru Puja, we find this similar sentiment of giving and taking, where we're wishing to take on all of the suffering of sentient beings and give all the happiness that we have to them. So it's in the dedication section. Here it's the aspiration to be able to do that. So give me one moment. Jetsun Lama. Nene Jetsun Lama Tujie Chen Majo Droa. Nene Jetsun Lama Tujie Chen Yomarebe. I knew where this was before. Okay, digger. Okay, the name, that's it. Jibja, Jeju, Renga, Jesse, San Chen.
She's a young girl.
So the previous quote is, in venerable compassionate gurus, you seek your breath blessings, that all karmic deeds, obstacles and suffering of mother beings may without exception ripen upon us right now, and that we may give our happiness and virtue to others and thereby invest in all beings in bliss. So we'll go back. So when we look at the stanza we just read, we see the similarity between that and the Guru Puja, stanza 95. It's one of the stanzas that we repeat three times when we do the Guru Puja. It says, so in the Nagarjuna's precious garland, we see, may I be as dear to sentient beings as their own life, and may they be even more dear to me. May their ill deeds fructify for me and all my virtues fructify for them. And then we see in the Guru Puja, and thus, O venerable, compassionate gurus, we seek your blessings that all karmic debts, obstacles, and suffering of mother beings may without exception ripen upon us right now, and that we may give our happiness and virtue to others and thereby invest all beings in bliss. And then it goes on to say, as long as any sentient being anywhere has not been liberated, may I remain in the world for the sake of that being, though I have attained highest enlightenment. So it's remaining in the world for sentient beings. So it's more aspirations that Nagarjuna is making. The Yabudu. So when we look, the Kanga Kelen, Shanchu Jisen.
Shanchu Sen is not Shadaka Chibres. The Zoo Iba Yena, Jidan Khan Shungumanis.
So if we look at the merit gained from the bodhicitta, from attaining the mind that aspires to enlightenment. It's saying that if that merit had form, that if in that form were to turn into, let's see, if the merit of saying this had form, it would never fit into the realms of the worlds as numerous as the sands grains of the Ganges. So, the ne the garde, the donda garde.
And the Kangi Shimi Chandan Vijit Khan Kansu and the Shogumanis. Take it, you be Sunan Khan, Kate Sujan Churu, Kangi Shamachin, Jinne, Jinne Kansu Majurus, Kangi Shimi Chandan Yabi, Jinne Kansu Shogumanis.
So if you fill the world with the grains of sand of the Ganges, if the whole world was full of that, it wouldn't be the same number, there wouldn't be enough of them to show you the same number of virtues that it would be if the bodhicitta had turned into the form and then turned into grains of sand. It would fill more than the whole world if the Ganges grains of sand filled the whole world. Just saying it's innumerous, it's big, it's without measure. So when we say that the merit of this is so vast, how can we prove that? Who has said such a thing? And then it says that Shakyamuni said this. The Supreme Victor said so, and the reasoning is this. The limitlessness of the merit of wishing to help limitless beings, of sentient beings, is like the limitlessness of those beings, so that there are limitless sentient beings. So we've already learned that there that word just means a number that we can't imagine or measure within our little brains. There's limitless sentient beings. So there's limitless aspirations as well. This wish that has as an object of observation limitless sentient beings then becomes a limitless wish. Okay. These practices that I've explained briefly to you in this way should be as dear to you as your body always. Those who feel a dearness for the practices have, in fact, a dearness for their body. If dearness for body helps it, the practices will do just that. Okay. So now, if anybody wants to do some question and answer, I just want to let everybody know, sorry we couldn't have the live teaching today. We've just been very busy and exhausted. We have every day have had something. And we go now for the peritoneal dialysis training starting Monday. Every single day, he goes one day for training and then one day for dialysis. So it's about 2 full weeks of everyday activity. So I just wanted to just let everybody know, please just be patient with the timing on things. Like Triwa. So Dan has a question. Dan wants to know, so it says, what is the relationship between seeing emptiness like with your eyes and your mind and knowing emptiness like your heart? The Rinpoche, the Tony Dobi Shira Chewa Yure, the Musun Dan Jepa Chikshina, Nge Tsampa, the Nadi Chewa Hagodu, the Chikshina the Konde Musun Jepa, Kangin Sena, the Tony Do, the Tonla Lena, me, Tony Tom Arabe.
Mega Tomare.
Then a con some meat tondu.
Mega Tomare.
Then a sand tondu.
Easy Shiva Musun Tondu.
So let's begin with the seeing of emptiness itself. So when we look at seeing emptiness, the word seeing is really just kind of the best word that is a word that's been used for it. Observing emptiness, seeing emptiness, realizing emptiness would be a little bit of a different word. But it's the word seeing's quite loaded because you don't see anything with your eyes. Nothing happens with your eyesight. There is no eye, no ear, no nose. There's a non-conceptual, incontrovertible, new valid cognition of emptiness that takes place with the mental consciousness. The mental consciousness sees the emptiness. There is no eye that sees emptiness or ear that hears emptiness or nothing is tasted or there's no tactile sensation. The mental consciousness observes emptiness. So the mental consciousness sees the emptiness. So then the Doni Dobi Shera, the J-Pag, that's good. J-Pag. J-Pag.
Doni Dobi Shera, J-Pag, that's not. You know, Deva Madruva, you say, Tende, Latende.
Less so.
Tende, Yinza.
Less so.
And Deva Madruva, she will look. What the Tanda Latende, she will look to the J-Pag.
So there are two kinds of valid cognition. There is inferential valid cognition and direct valid cognition. Inferential valid cognition requires just an analysis over and over and over of a correct sign. For instance, the correct sign that things are dependently originate, therefore they are not truly established and are empty. So you would meditate on a correct sign over and over and over again to the point where you establish it as a fact that is incontrovertible. Now, this isn't an idea that you have or that you think something's right. When you study the low rig, you'll see there are varying stages of coming to the actual understanding of inferential valid cognition. And you can have a doubt that's tending towards right. Well, I think that's right. And you are so many stages away from even inferential valid cognition that you would have to study to understand the different subtleties. But just because you kind of know something, that doesn't mean you have inferential valid cognition. Inferential valid cognition is correct valid cognition that is incontrovertible, that is based on a correct sign, based on an inference based on a sign. So once you get to correct direct valid cognition, there's no the sign is no longer necessary. There's an actual non-conceptual experience, if you will, realization of emptiness, of the nature of reality that takes place that is not conceptual. And thinking or seeing and all of those things that we're talking about are all conceptual. The physical senses don't see emptiness. It's just a mental consciousness that does. The shape which is
Sabudu. Da la mala toa yuna, toa latin, toa yuba latin, eh? Me yuba shetubuwa.
So similar to if you see smoke, actual smoke, not mist, if there's smoke on a mountain coming, billowing, you can infer that there is a fire there. That's what inference is about. It's based on a correct sign. You come to the conclusion of something and you won't convert, you won't change your mind about it. So you have to make sure that the sign is correct. So there's a big debate about it, of course. Well, what if there's, you know, some steam or something or, you know, but to make steam, you need fire. You need some sort of fire. So there's a big debate. But if you have the correct sign of smoke, which is caused by fire, it means there's been fire there. So similarly, if you have the correct sign that things are not truly established because of dependent origination, then you conclude that they're empty. Right now is a very difficult time in the world with this COVID I'm thinking in Tibetan with the COVID illness now, COVID-19 sickness. And Rinpoche said, it's very important now that we rely on Tara and engage in the Tara practice of Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re, Soha, and engage in the practice of medicine Buddha, of Teata Om Bekenze Bekenze Maha Bekenze Ranzel Samogati Soha. So if we rely on medicine Buddha and Tara, it will be beneficial for us and others. So, and just one more thing, when we're looking at how we study, and when we study, they study in the monasteries, they have what's called Chuchen Sewadak. It's the subject, it's the thesis about that subject, and then the correct sign. So you would say the subject form is empty because it dependently originates. So that because it dependently originates, it's a, if it's a correct sign, it will get you to the point where you understand the thesis about the subject, and it won't be controvertible. It won't change.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, any more questions? I don't see any more. Let me just double check. Oh, that's it. So I think we're good. Let's do the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. And thank you again for continuing to allow me to generate this merit of translating for so many years. I can't believe it. That's all. Thank you. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient living beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Ozandrapa to shine forever. I send forth this jewel mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In the pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All-powerful Avalokiteshvara, Tenzin Gyatso, may you stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, the spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Thank you, everyone. See you next time.